Hey, folks, welcome to the show. Before we get to my guest this week, you can see me May 5th through the 7th this coming weekend at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle in Royal Oak, Michigan. Awesome club. It's been a few years since I've been there because of COVID, so I'm really looking forward to checking it out, being back. And May 14th, I'm going to be at Plain Ridge Casino in Plainville, Mass, one show only. And then June 2nd to the 4th, I'm going to be at Comics Comedy Club in Mohegan Sun. So I'm on tour. Go to my website, paulmercurio.com. You can click the links for tickets. Hope you guys can make it out.
It was right around the time of the O.J. Simpson trial. So when I remember, because I didn't have a car, so I would go to auditions, and I'd have to take buses, and I'd always have to transfer buses right in front of the criminal courts building during the O.J. Simpson trial.
Oh, my God. Are you serious? That's crazy.
I was like, man, I don't know about Los Angeles. I'd call home, I was like, yeah, I don't know, Ma. You know, I might be coming back to Minnesota soon, because Los Angeles seems a little crazy.
All right, that was Sean William Scott. What a great guy. This is such a fun conversation with him. He talks about this new role he has in Welcome to Flatch. And he's talking about he was 18 when he went to L.A. and how he was getting around, you know, starving artists, auditioning. Anyway, it was a really cool conversation with him. And before we get to that full interview, can companies stop with the surveys after I buy something? Are you getting bombarded with surveys asking me in an email how they did? So what I do just to mess with them is I give them a survey on their survey. I'm like, well, you know, there aren't enough questions. The questions aren't detailed enough. The circles need to be bigger if I have to fill something in. You know, just mess with them. Screw with them. You want to know how you did? You know how you did. If I smiled and gave you a tip, you did okay. If I told you you sucked, then you sucked. How about that? That's your survey right there in the moment. Read the room. That's what I would say. Read the room. Read my face. All right. Enjoy Sean William Scott. Hope to see you guys out on the road, on tour. Go to my website, paulmercurio.com. Check out where I'm going to be. And, of course, follow me on social media at Paul Mercurio. Hey, folks. Welcome to the show. My guest this week, Sean William Scott. You know him from his role as Steve Stifler in American Pie franchise, Lethal Weapon, the TV series, Road Trip, Super Troopers 2, Dukes of Hazzard. He's done it all. It's great to have you on the show.
Hey, it's great to be on the show. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, looking forward to this new series that you're in, Welcome to Flatch on Fox, a half hour, calling it a docu-comedy. It airs Thursdays, 9:30, on Fox. There's so many interesting things about this, and I love the fact that when I first saw this, like, you play a pastor, which I did not expect, which is awesome, and you must love as an actor to play something different. And your character has a little bit of history with a woman in town. And explain the show a little bit and your character.
Yeah. Well, you know, the show is inspired by the BBC show This Country, which is also, you know, got like a documentary format. But in our show, there's the documentary crew that travels to Flatch, Ohio, which is this super small town, and just kind of like is following these, you know, mainly these two cousins that are kind of like lovable losers that haven't really figured out what they want to do with their lives. And then the rest of these kind of weird, like, locals. And I play Father Joseph Binghoffer, this guy who's a pastor from Minneapolis who moves to Flatch with his girlfriend, who Aya Cash plays. And as soon as he gets to Flatch, he kind of is like, yeah, I got to focus on the church, and dumps Aya's character. And then throughout the whole show, he's really kind of trying to, you know, get her back. But my character is a former lead singer of a Christian boy band called Amen. So when I met with Paul Feig and Jenny Bix, who are producers on the show, or both legends, that was what kind of sold me on it. They told me, like, yeah, he was a lead singer of this band called Amen, and then he decided to go solo, and that was a big failure and his life kind of fell apart. I think that's when I was like, oh, where do I sign? Let's go. And then eventually in my mind, I thought he was kind of like after some failures and going through like a dark period in his life, he's like, yeah, I want to become a minister. I think I can do this. And then he does. And then he ends up in this small town and he's totally in over his head. He's probably never had any sort of like leadership role. He's never had anybody like listen to him before. And he thinks he's like, you know, capable of doing it, but he's really not, you know, it's a lot of fun. It's a fun character. Well,
I think what, as an actor, when you hear Christian boy band, you're like, you need to say nothing else. I don't even need to know what the script is. I'm just going to play that, whatever it is. That's
exactly, exactly how I felt. I was like, Christian boy band? I didn't even know that existed. I'm like, let's do it. That's hilarious.
Well, the thing about you, you play this character so well because you definitely convey, like when you're a minister, you're a leader of people. Under the most important circumstances, which is, you know, guiding people in their lives spiritually, which is more important than anything. And yet exude zero ability or confidence as a leader in the world. Like the it's like, I would not go, you look so unsure of yourself as the character, obviously. Like I wouldn't go to this guy for advice about, you know, what kind
that's
of.
That's so funny. That's amazing. Yeah, that's what I wanted. I don't want to play like a legit minister. That's no fun. Who wants to do that for five seasons? Like, no, the guy who's like, I think there's a scene later in the season where the camera crew like finds him just like super bored at his desk and he's just like browsing the web. And then he kind of out of the corner of his eye notices the camera crew and he just like picks up the Bible and acts like he's reading it and the Bible's upside down. And like, like that guy, that's the fun guy. The guy's like, I don't know how many times he's actually read the Bible. And I think any like the wisdom that he imparts on like kids, it's like clearly taken from Hallmark cards.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of Father Joe in a nutshell.
Right. Or he's eating cereal and there's like some like inspirational saying on the back of the box, the back of the cereal box. And he's like,
exactly.
That would be good
for my sermon.
That would be good for my flock.
exactly. It's for my flock.
What, so then to layer in sort of the dynamic with the woman and the relationship, and then was that sort of an add-on later? Was that always part of the plan with this character?
I honestly don't think that I have no idea. I think that like, I don't know if they had plans for the Father Joe character to be, you know, much bigger. And when I came on board, I think they started to play with it a little bit more and then build on the relationship between him and his girlfriend and go like, let's see if we can, you know, create something where, you know, you try to get a sense of these, you know, we want these two to get back together again. And which I think they did a pretty good job, you know, with it. Yeah. And, like with my character throughout the show, you see, he's like, you know, he sees Aya Cash, you know, hooking up with this editor at this other paper at the kind of like enemy town. And, you know, all along he's like trying to get her back, but I don't know. I don't know if they always had planned for that.
It's a nice added layer. What is it like?
I think so.
This idea that there's a doc crew kind of as part of the show. Is it like, how can I say this? Is it sort of like two layers of kind of acting you have to do because you're not just acting in the role. You've then got to sort of act within this framework that's on camera of being on camera.
Yeah.
Was it a little bit of a challenge there, or was that a little bit of a quirk that was kind of cool to kind of tackle?
Yeah, I loved it. I mean, honestly, before I'd heard about Welcome to Flatch, you know, the fact that they're going to make this TV show, I was binging Parks and Rec. And I remember I was thinking like, man, if I was going to do a TV show, like something like this would be so fun. obviously because the writing was also great, but, but just being able to use the camera in a really effective way, you know, for just creatively, I thought that would be fun. If you can, you know, find opportunities to create a laugh or help tell the story, you know, by using the camera, that would be, I think, really a fun challenge. And I think the thing that I found is when we're shooting it is to be careful to not overuse it. Because if all of a sudden you're just constantly like throwing looks at the camera, like, well, this is really annoying, or like, this is, you know, you're overusing it. So yeah, it was interesting. It was a lot of fun. It was exactly kind of how I had hoped it was going to be. As far as that goes, as far as like having the camera to create more jokes.
Yeah. That's amazing. You were binge watching, Parks and Rec, and that this shows up. That's pretty fortuitous. That's amazing.
Yeah, it was really cool. Yeah. Cause I mean, obviously also Parks and Rec is just an awesome show, but I was like, especially with the, you know, the mockumentary films when they work, I think they look like they're probably more fun to do than most other half hour shows.
Oh yeah. I mean, look, I mean, you've probably seen it a bunch of times, but you can never be bored watching, this is Spinal Tap, right? Like, it's just so brilliant.
Oh, you can
repeat every line, and it's like,
oh,
it's,
my God,
it's just like, it's so brilliant. That and, Christopher Guest and the, Best in Show.
It's unbelievable.
Just like to be part of like that sort of heritage, which is now what you are with this, and it's very different from stuff you played, which must be fun for you. Do you have an interesting background, because, you know, you were kind of a jock in high school and basketball and football, but you wanted to act. Was that like early on? I mean, I know you were one of seven kids, and that must have been challenging because that's a big family. Were you younger in the group or older, or where did you fall in that? And how did that, what was that like growing up in that big brood?
You know what? So I'm the youngest of seven, but they're all half brothers and sisters. So most of my siblings were kind of out of the house when I was, you know, growing up. So it was really just mostly me and my brother, who's 3 years older. But my oldest brother was a film theory major. And so when I was really young, he introduced me to a lot of really, you know, great films. So I was watching like Hal Ashby movies when I think my other friends probably weren't. So I had kind of a different aesthetic when I thought about films. And, so when I was in high school, you know, my brother was 3 years older. He was really the performer. He was the one who was like in musicals and plays. I just loved movies, and literally kind of on a whim, I was like, that's why I moved to Hollywood to pursue movies, was because I loved them so much. And I just had this feeling. I was like, I don't know why. And I'm sure I'm crazy, but I want to give this a shot. And I picked up my stuff, moved to LA, and boy, was I naive, and I had a lot to learn. But was honestly it. I was working at our local movie theater. I was watching movies, and it was just like when I watched a great one and how it made me feel, like, I want to do that.
Yeah.
And I just got really, really lucky.
Yeah. How old were you when you moved?
18. Wow. It was right around the time of the O.J. Simpson trial. Yeah. So when I remember, because I didn't have a car, so I would go to auditions and I'd have to take buses, and I'd always have to transfer buses right in front of the criminal courts building during the O.J. Simpson trial.
Oh, my God. Are you serious? I was like, that's crazy.
I was like, man, I don't know about Los Angeles. I call home. I was like, yeah, I don't know, Ma. You know, I might be coming back to Minnesota soon, because Los Angeles seems a little crazy.
You think it's like that, like, every day? Oh, my God. I know you talk probably forever about your American Pie role, but I'm curious, like, I'm a kind of a process geek and I act myself, but what was it you think you did in that audition that got you that role? Like, I had an audition for the movie Chuck, that, and I landed a role in it, a small role with Liev Schreiber. And I found out later, it was set in it's a Chuck Webner story, which is the real Rocky Balboa story. Long story short.
Yeah, I know that.
So
yeah.
It's set in the 70s. And so when I'm an Italian kid from Rhode Island, and if I know Guido's, I know Guido's, right? So one of the scenes I had to audition for was we're on a dance floor with like a bunch of people at this club with Liev Schreiber, and I'm part of his entourage, and we're talking about something. And then I'm the whole time I'm talking to him, I'm dancing, and then I got to like leave the frame. So at the very last minute, I did like a spin move. I went like, woo, yo, Rocky. And I get out, and I found out that's what got me the role, was that last little thing that I did, which is a completely improvised thing.
Interesting.
So I was curious, like, if that ended up being such an iconic role. Obviously at the time you didn't know, but like, or was there something else where you like, you did a little something that maybe wasn't on the page or whatever that got you the part?
Definitely. It's so interesting because just like what you did in that movie, in that audition, I was realizing like the year leading up to that audition for American Pie, I started to, because I think you figure out, you're like, how do I stand out? Like,
yeah.
How can I make this unique compared to what every other actor is going to do in the room?
Right.
And so when I started to kind of play with the dialogue, and might have been just one weird thing or one something that, you know, still felt like, you know, was true to what they were, you know, looking for, but might have elevated the performance to whatever. It was starting to work. I started getting more callbacks in those auditions where I started to take risks. And with the Stifler character, I remember reading the script. It was one of the rare times that I had gotten a script before an audition. I don't even know how I did. And the script is so funny. But the character, the Stifler character, and this is, by the way, I was working at Home Depot. I had never acted. I'd never gotten a job. And I still read the character going, I don't even know if I'd want to play this character, because he's such a like one-dimensional just jerk. You know, just I was like, I don't know how. I mean, obviously, I would do it if I got it. But like, well, I look 45. I don't look like a high school senior. Even though I was like 20 years old at the time, always looked 45. And I was like, how do I make this guy? I might as well just play with it and improvise. And I just like pulled all these different things from my friends and just was like, I'm going to make him just the guy you hate to love, as opposed to the guy you love to hate. And then, then I went, I just improvised a bunch. And I remember the casting director was like, oh, wow, you really changed a lot. He's like, can you come back and read for the director's letter today? And then I went back and did kind of the same thing. And I think that the directors gave me a note, and that I did it the exact same way. I was like, well, I'm never getting this. I didn't make, you know, I didn't take their direction.
Yeah, but that's what acting coaches tell you. My acting coach always tells me, if you get a direction that you don't agree with, just say okay and do the same thing again. And they think you did the note. So you probably did the right thing.
Oh, funny.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I know. When I got the part, they just let me continue to improvise. I was just like, oh my God, I got this thing. How do I get myself in more of the movie? So I would go to them with ideas, and there, you know, I think one was like, hey, what if we do like a Steadicam shot where you're like following me throughout the party and then you see me greeting the other people? And there was, I don't know if I can take full credit for that, but like, and they were like, yeah, let's do it.
Cool.
And slowly the characters started to kind of evolve. And it was obviously, I was very lucky that the directors, you know, allowed all of the actors to play with their part and build on it. But I think it was definitely like taking that risk and just improvising and adjusting it enough to where it would, you know, I stood out enough, you know, compared to the other actors.
Yeah. No, well, listen,
also I land a lot of luck.
That's the art of it though. And you're really good at your craft. Well, listen, the success you've had has been amazing. Congratulations on
Thank
the new
you.
Show. I'm really, this is my kind of comedy, so I'm excited to see. Welcome to Flatch, Thursdays, 9:30 on Fox. And we got to get you on again and we'll talk some more. This was really fun. Sean William Scott, great to have you on, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. It was great talking to you.
All right, that was Sean William Scott. Awesome guy. I can't tell you, I didn't know what, you never know what to expect when you have somebody new on that you've never had on before. And I just thought he was really interesting and really modest. And, you know, he's got a lot of success at an early age. That was really cool. All right. You can see me May 5th through the 7th, Royal Oak, Michigan, Comedy Castle, Comedy Club. May 14th, Plain Ridge Casino in Plainville, Mass. And June 2nd to the 4th at Comics Comedy Club, Mohegan Sun. Hope you can make it out. And hope you enjoyed the podcast. And don't forget, follow me on social media at Paul Mercurio. See you next week, everybody.